up, everyone? Welcome back to Table 40. Matt and Leslie here. Today, we got a special guest, as always. Two-time All-Star, two-time Silver Slugger, led the NL in stolen bases last year, which I didn't know until I looked it up. And the Ryan Gosling look-alike. If Ryan Gosling ever played a superhero, Trevor could fill in. But Trevor Story is our guest. And Trevor, former teammate of mine for a short time. But thanks for coming on, buddy. Appreciate it.
For sure, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited, Trevor. So Jackson, our oldest, we talked to Bobichet a couple shows ago. And I said, Jax, I said, are you listening to this podcast or what? And he said, yeah, I only listen when you have really good shortstops on. And he was like, why don't you call Trevor Story and see if he'll do your show? And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, he said, just get Trevor on and I'll lock it in. I'll listen to what you guys have to say. I'm really glad you said yes.
Yeah, if that's what it takes for Jax to listen, I'm here for it.
Yeah. So anyway, he's excited.
All right. So let's jump into a little bit of Trevor Story's background. Tell us about growing up and your family. I know your dad was a firefighter and your mom worked at a food pantry. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, man. So growing up, like you said, my dad's a fireman, paramedic. And my mom, started off as a volunteer at Irving Cares, which is, like you said, a food pantry in Irving, you know, that helps the less fortunate people, whether it's, you know, paying their bills or getting groceries or, just essential needs like that. So growing up, you know, under the tutelage of those two was pretty special for me, you know, two people that really just kind of, dedicated their lives to serving other people and helping out other people. And I think that was mainly, you know, one of the biggest messages that I got. We would talk about that. And I think, but most of all, it was shown, you know, they kind of live that life. And so that is kind of the way that, you know, they raised me. And yeah, I'm super thankful for that perspective.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I heard a couple years ago this little phrase that more is caught than taught. And I think, like, listening to you talk about your parents and just that they modeled a very consistent behavior at work and then at home, I bet it did impact your life and your faith a whole lot, just watching people that you love and respect serve the community, but also come home and serve your family in the same way. So that's really cool.
What kind of impact? Yeah. What kind of impact did that have on your soul? Watching your mom serve the less fortunate, and then, like, you know, your dad out serving and saving. What kind of impact would you say that had on kind of deep down? You know, your as you're growing up and you're seeing that model of service.
Yeah, I think it had a huge impact. I think at the time, you know, when I'm a kid and you know. I don't really realize, you know, kind of what's going on or I guess the magnitude that they're doing it. And, the way they treated other people and the way that, they sacrificed their time and effort to do things like that. My dad is, super, super quiet guy. Until you get to know him, then he'll open up a little bit. But, he's out there, you know, taking time away from his kids and his family to, you know, essentially, you know, firemen are risking their lives to help people. And, I think later on, you know, the older I get, the more I realized, you know, how special it was to have two parents kind of, you know, do it the way that they did. And I think it had a huge impact on me. And, I certainly still carry that impact today.
That's cool. Before we hit record, Trevor, we were talking to our boys and they're about to be teammates on the high school baseball team. So they're, Jackson's going to be a senior and Ethan's going to be a freshman and they get to play together. So you're talking a little bit about that. So And you said it was really fun for you and your brother to do that. Let's talk about that a little bit. I think that's really cool. Yeah. That you experienced the same thing.
And it was awesome. We were, you know, I felt like, honestly, I thought I was ready to be on varsity as a freshman, you know, but Coach Malone.
Looking back, you probably were.
I guess Coach Malone, he thought I needed, you know, 15 more games of seasoning at the freshman level. And so it was cool to get that, you know, he gave me the opportunity at the end, you know, to come up and play like the second half of that season with him. And it's funny because, you know, I talked to Jay Malone today and he'll say, like, man, I wish I would have had you up there from the start. But but, you know, looking back, it was just awesome to be able to share those experiences with him, because we're always 3.5 years, you know, he was 3.5 years older than me. And you know, I looked up to every single thing that he did, you know, copied everything he did, and, you know, wanted to be just like him. So it was cool to play on the same team. And man, it was like I said, one of the best times that I've had.
What kind of leader is your brother? I'm a little concerned about the leadership that Jackson is.
No, he'll be harsh on him. Like, he's like, he's making him go work out. And like, he's like, I feel like if he gets intentionally walked and Ethan's hitting behind him and he doesn't come through, that he's going to be all over him.
No, that's great. My brother was, you know, probably the exact opposite. You know, he's very much like my dad, you know, very soft spoken, really quiet, reserved. But, you know, I think once we were playing on the field, I remember there was always kind of a, you know, there was something that changed in him for sure. And, you know, he has that quiet intensity about him on the field. And, you know, I guess the way I describe it is like DJ LeMahieu, you know, he reminds me of my brother in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, that was a similar type of leadership, if I could describe it.
That's great.
So at what point in high school and looking back, like, did you know, like, you know what, I have a chance to be drafted high and to play in the major leagues? At what point in your life were you able to go from, like, I'm just playing this because I love it, to, okay, I'm getting some attention, I'm getting recruited to colleges, to, you know what, I want to be a major league baseball player and I think I can do it?
I think it was around, you know, that from my sophomore summer to my, or for, I'm sorry, from the freshman summer to my sophomore summer, I think is where I was like, man, I think, you know, I got a real shot at this thing, because, you know, I was getting a lot of attention from a lot of D1 schools. And, you know, you kind of hear the pitch that they have to say, and you know, along with all the perfect game projections and all the different things like that and showcases, you get feedback from those things, and they're all pretty good. And so I guess, you know, around sophomore year, and then, you know, putting up a couple good years and then going into my senior year, I knew that, you know, I wanted to play Major League Baseball. That was my dream, before anything. And, you know, I had committed to LSU, and being there on the campus and, you know, going through that whole recruiting process was amazing. And I don't know that there's a better school out there than that. You know, I can't imagine it, but it was a truly special experience with that. And then going to, you know, into the draft, and, you know, when it was time to make that decision, that's what it was for me, is that, you know, I had the chance to either go play college baseball, or I had the chance to go play Major League Baseball. And I felt that I was in a good position. I felt like I was raised really well to be able to handle it at that age. And so we made the decision that, you know, we thought was right at the time, and it ended up being pretty good.
Absolutely. What do you think was the greatest challenge, like, as an 18-year-old deciding that, okay, I'm ready to be a professional? What was it for you that was the hardest adjustment?
I think there's a lot hard about it, as y'all know, you know.
Yeah.
the you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, being away from my family and being away from my girlfriend, who's now my wife, Mally. So, you know, you go from, you know, it was me and Mally in English class every day, you know, hanging out and playing Irving High baseball. And then, you know, the next day I'm in Casper, Wyoming, trying to get hits against, you know, feeling a little bit overwhelmed with what I'm facing out there. And so I guess, you know, being away from the people that I love the most, and also just the consistency part of being a pro, you know, it's every single day, and you got to treat your body right. You have to, you know, stay on top of your strength and just so many different things went into it that, you know, you hear about, but to live it is something different, I would say.
Who are mentors as you get out there as an 18-year-old kid? Who are some of the coaches or players that made you feel more comfortable, that said, you know, that you could turn to, or maybe, you know, that had an impact on you as an 18, 19-year-old to help you learn how to be a pro?
Tulo had a lot to do with that, which is, you know, I'm forever thankful to him for reaching out to me and kind of, you know, I would say that, you know, I always worked hard and always, you know, I always had a really good work ethic. But being around him and just seeing the way that he worked and the intensity in which that he brought to every single little detail of the game was amazing to me. And so I really tried to embody that and take that with me throughout my whole career. And then, you know, there's guys like, you know, that didn't end up making it to the big leagues or have such a huge impact on the field that helped me. You know, I think Tyler Massey, who's a guy, a strong Christian, a man of faith that really, you know, kept things in perspective for me in the minor leagues and, you know, got to see him. You know, he lives in Tennessee now, but got to see him at our wedding. And, you know, it's just cool to kind of look back on those things and realize, you know, how, you know, God kind of had his hand on this thing the whole time.
Absolutely. I love that. Okay. I want to talk about Mally for a second. When Matt, I would love to hear how you guys met, but I want to brag on it real quick. So when Matt got the opportunity to play with y'all in 2018, and you go and you're a new wife, and even though Matt had played a really long time, you still get like nervous. You know, you walk in I'm talking about me. And you probably weren't nervous. I was nervous. And so, I mean, I've got four kids. I'm a whole lot older than everybody else. And I'm just like, I'm just a little nervous. And so, but then I met Mally. And so she is just like a ray of sunshine, that girl. And she's such a good leader. And she's just such a wonderful personality. So, I mean, you nailed it. Way to go.
Yeah. Thank you. I got lucky, really lucky on that one. So
you guys met in high school, right?
That's right.
And then when you started dating right away?
We did. Well, actually, no. So we met freshman year of high school, and, you know, right away we were really good friends. And, you know, she had kind of always had a boyfriend, you know, and I had always had a girlfriend. And, you know, up until like junior summer to senior year. And, you know, the timing finally worked out where it was me and Mally, and we, you know, we started dating there my senior year, and she, man, she took care of me, man. And, you know, obviously still doing that. So, you know, I feel very lucky to have met her, you know, when I did. And, just truly, you know, my best friend. And I think it's, you know, so important for me to, you know, I think for everyone to have that. You know, I think you guys are kind of cut from that same cloth. And she's, like I said, just my best friend, and couldn't imagine doing anything without her.
Yeah, that's fun. It's important, I think, like, to touch on that point about being like marriage and stuff, and especially marriage in pro, not especially marriage in pro sports, it's what we know. And so that's why I said that. But I think that having a good buddy to do life with, and knowing that, I mean, when Matt was going through his career, no matter what happened on the field, he knew that when he came home that I was just excited to see him, and he didn't have to, I guess, perform for me, you know, and I love that. And I love that we were able to have that kind of bond, because it's a grind sometimes in pro sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, very, very, you know, thankful and have a lot of gratitude for that, for Mally being that way. Just she's, you know, she's an old soul for sure. And she's very, you know, she puts everyone ahead of herself and, you know, a lot of times, you know, forgets to take care of herself, you know, and so it's special to have that. And, you know, I could say all of my success is attributed to her. And, you know, I think, you know, always when people talk, you know, whether it's giving me a compliment or say that, you know, I've been so successful, I truly, you know, make it a point to say that, you know, this is me and Mally, you know, we're a team. Without her, this whole thing doesn't go the way that it does. So I have a good perspective of that, and very thankful to her.
That's awesome.
So when we talk about, so let's just move forward a little bit. So as you go into your sixth year, your free agent year, and in the off season, the Rockies trade Nolan and DJ's gone. And, what was your immediate reaction? I guess you probably knew, like everybody else, that there was talk of Nolan getting traded. What was your reaction? Like, kind of like, I know you kind of knew it was coming, but what was your reaction in being so close to Nolan and kind of seeing, I guess, where the organization is going when you trade your best, one of your best, better players, a guy that's been there for a long time? What was your, because I guess to me, if I'm you, I'm thinking, well, if he's going, then they're probably rebuilding, and then I'm part of the next wave of moving out. What was your reaction?
Yeah. It was a very, you know, whirlwind of emotions, I would say. You know, you come up with a guy, and, you know, me and Noel got to be very close, you know, there our last few years together. And, you know, we were really, you know, we really prided ourselves on trying to be the best, you know, left side in the game. And we felt like we did that for, you know, a couple years. And, you know, you just kind of, I guess you realize the baseball side of it and the business side of baseball. And you're like, man, this thing isn't, you know, always, you know, roses and dandies or whatever. And you're like, you know, that's kind of a shock to you. But, then those thoughts certainly enter your head of, you know, whether, you know, am I next, or, you know, what is the, you know, what's the path of this organization going next? And, you know, it's hard not to be, you know, try to think about what's going to happen to you. And I think that's kind of the human aspect of it, but, you know, a lot of emotions, whether, you know, obviously, you know, me and Noel were really good friends. So I was sad to see one of my best friends go to another team. You know, it's something that is, you know, an everyday thing that to where I try, you know, the biggest thing that I try to do is stay in the moment, you know, be where my feet are and try not to look far ahead. And, I know it's super cliche, but that is truly the approach that I've taken. And, you know, I think I've found peace in that, you know, knowing that, you know, it's out of my control really. And, I'm just going to do what I can and focus on the things that I can control and then we'll kind of see what happens.
That's good. That's wise, Trevor. I think for us too, looking back on Matt's career, the hardest like segment of time in Matt's career was the moment we realized that it was a business, you know, and we were actually with Colorado as well when we learned that. and that day is hard, you know, because I think as players and players' families, you really do become a family with your teammates and the wives and the kids and all. And it really is, I think in the locker room and in the family room, you don't really count dollars. Like, it's not about salary. It's not about that stuff. You're just doing this thing together like you've done since you were a little kid. And I think for us, like, that was the moment that was just really, really hard for both Matt and I, you know, to realize, oh gosh, this is a business and there are going to be decisions that I don't love. And, but I think what you said about just being in the moment, being where your feet are, I think the reason things become cliche is because they're right. And I think that, you know, and I think that that's so wise. And it is just really wise for all of us to practice, no matter what sort of season we are in our life, is to try to be really locked in to where we are currently. Cause you're right, we can't control what's coming up. And it gets overwhelming if you start to write a story that God hadn't given you authority to write yet. You know, who knows where he's going to plant y'all. And so, anyway,
let's get into that a little bit. How has your faith impacted your approach to baseball? Like, just in general, the ups and downs, the being away from your wife, the struggles, the highs, the pending free agency, all of that. How does your faith, impact that?
Yeah, it's huge, man. I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, man, I don't know how you play baseball without being, a Christian and having that strong faith, just because this game is so demanding and it's, it's built on failure, you're going to fail many more times than you succeed. And, that is, kind of similar to life. And I feel like, for me, I try to pride myself on being very even keeled and being, trying to be the same guy every day, whether I'm playing really well or not, not playing very well. And, I think that is really rooted in my faith and, being in the Word. And, I think we all, need to be in the Word more than we are. And, that's a challenge of mine that I really try to do. But, I always find myself, after those times, in the Word and studying and, always, come away with that, sense of calm and kind of peace to where, I realize that baseball, doesn't define who I am, and that's something that's hard to, it's hard to kind of accept that because, this is our job and it's, my biggest passion. And, we put so much time and effort into it that, sometimes those lines can get blurred between, what truly is my purpose here. And, Mally does a great job of that for me, kind of bringing me back to the perspective of, hey, this is not, sure, this is your favorite thing to do in the world, but, you get, we make a living off of this, but this isn't the end all be all. And I think, having those good reminders and that faith is huge. And it's the thing that keeps me going, no doubt.
That's really cool. Trevor, so Matt asked the question earlier, like, when did you know that you could potentially be a pro athlete? But I don't know. I'm just curious because you seem to be really mature in where you are in your relationship with the Lord. At what point did that start to become a priority to you where you're like, man, I'm all in on this Christian deal. I'm going to start spending some time in the Word and really study this instead of just lip service,
Yeah. I think for me, having, so my grandfather, Daryl Story, who's my dad's dad, was, I think about as close as you can get to, the human form of Jesus, in my opinion. And, just the way that, he had such a huge, impact on our childhood and the way he raised us and, they were always around. So, I think just being around him and seeing the way that he lived his life was truly the first, and most impactful inspiration that, I looked at him and I was like, man, I want to live like that. I want to treat people the way he treats people. I want to be you know, joyful all the time. I want to have that. And I want to, cause it was, you know, there was never a time where he wasn't like that. And, you know, just the way that he lived his life was probably the, what drew me the most to being a Christian, I think. And, you know, I think he passed that along throughout our family, and, you know, just a special way to kind of live his life that impacted me was probably the one that was like, all right, let's do this thing.
Yeah, that's great. I have a similar story. My grandpa, his name, I grew up in Texas as well. And so my grandpa's name was Vester Lee Smith. Is that not a Texas country name ever?
So, yeah, it is.
Anyway, but Vester Lee Smith, he impacted my faith a lot too. And it was the same sort of thing as a kid. I watched him with my grandma, and her name was Martha Ann. And they really did. They really, it just the way that they lived, and they just like oozed peace and joy and like genuine love. And oh man, I love being around them. And so they impacted my faith and impacted our marriage in ways that can't be replaced for sure. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Love that.
All right. So last one for me. I know you got a game tonight and you're probably, I see you're hydrating and caffeinating.
Always. Always hydrating.
Yeah. So we asked this question on all of the shows. So if you got, it's called Table 40 is the name of the podcast. So we call it Table 40 because we used to like to have everybody over and sit around the table and get to know each other and talk and hang out, whatever.
And eat great food.
So you got six or seven people at the table. Who are they? And Mally's there, obviously.
Yeah.
And who are they, and what is the meal?
Okay, I like that. I think we'll start with Tom Brady.
Ooh.
I mean, we throw Jesus in there.
Yeah, he can come.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He can bring the wine.
He's invited. Okay. We'll go Derek Jeter. Let's see. After that, you know, those are my two guys, you know, my two favorite athletes of all time for sure. You know, trying to think into the music world now. Let's go. I'd like to talk to like Drake or LeBron, see, you know, kind of pick those guys' minds a little bit.
All right.
Maybe like Tim Grover, who is MJ's trainer, or Trevor Moad, who is, you know, a big guy in the mental space, who, you know, I think he works with Russell Wilson and those guys. But yeah, I think I would obviously very sports heavy and you know, trying to figure this thing out, but I would say those people. And then for food, I would go probably chicken fried steak.
Oh wow.
A little comfort food with some mashed potatoes and, you know, some like cream corn, I'm gonna go with.
All right.
That's a good meal, Trevor. Yeah. That's a good meal. Good company, good meal. That sounds amazing. Yeah. We're moving right now. So I'm like really, I'm starving all the time. So I guess that's why that sounds so good. So yeah. That's great. I love it. Thank you for coming
on. Yeah, thanks for
hanging out with us.
We appreciate it. I know your meals, wow. I'm going to bug you, but.
No, you're good. I enjoyed it. It's good catching up with you guys, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to Table 40 with Matt and Leslie Holiday, part of the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more stories on sports intersecting with faith, visit sportsspectrum.com.